Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, we're back from the big holiday. It's a whole new year, 2021. I have no idea how I made it here, but I am glad to be here. So, but that was never really in the plan, but I'm glad it's happened. Lots going on with the show, folks. Lots going on. We're going to be making some real big announcements in the following day or so. Could be later tonight, but it'll probably be tomorrow. We've got we're launching a Patreon with all kinds of cool stuff on it, and just all kinds of cool stuff. But we'll get into that later. What I want to get into today is our fantastic guest. I've had a guest on before from this show. It's one of my favorites of the year, man. I am addicted to it. It's just out of sight. The show is L.A. Macabre. It's on Amazon Prime. And our guest today is part of the show. I'd like to welcome a fantastic actor, Mr. Robert Broski. Hopefully, Robert, I'm saying your last name right. I should have asked before the show. But I hope I got it.
That's fine. No, that's great. No problem. No. How you doing, Mr. Rock?
Good. We're cooking with grease then. I like it. So, Robert, I wanted to, I love your show. It's fantastic. And, of course, little inside information about me and Clint over at October Coast. We are both huge Twin Peaks fans, and when he told me, that they were doing, PR for you and the show and whatnot, and you were attached to that, I was very excited, and of course, finished the email, called all of my Twin Peaks friends because we travel in packs, and just kind of bragged a little bit that you were going to be on the show. Very cool, sir. I wanted to ask you, how did you get into acting? Were you always, as a kid, did you know this is what you were going to be doing?
Oh, interesting. How much time you got? Not really.
All the time in the world.
Wonderful. Not really. I pretty much just kind of the run-of-the-mill kind of guy. I got married when I was kind of young. I had 4 children. I had to keep them fed, so I got into construction. I did about 2 or 3 other kinds of things, and it was just kind of hectic, and I wanted to do something that was enjoyable, something that I could just not have to worry about people calling me and dealing with schedules and everything. So I answered an ad in the newspaper where they tell you not to do that, and it said, "Do you want to be in the movies?" And I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, yeah, I'd like to give that a go. So I answered an ad, and that's kind of how it started. And that was only about 15 years ago, something like that.
Wow. How cool is that?
Well, yes.
That's awesome.
Different. Yes.
I think I
got a character face, so it may come to a shock to you and the listeners, but I am not a leading man look. I don't have that chiseled look. Yeah, and I like character.
You have a very distinctive look, though. It works.
Yes.
Yeah.
A character actor look, and I don't mind. I love it. It's kind of fun playing the bad guy, the evil guy, the questionable guy, the junkyard dog kind of guy. So, yes, I like it.
Well, you just described all of my friends.
Oh, well, Well, then I
You're
will
gonna get along just fine.
Yeah. Good.
That is right. Well, you know, you're fantastic at it. And one of the things, you know, when people think acting, it's so much more than just reading lines or whatnot. And you were so good at this with expression of your face and, you know, movement and whatnot. All that stuff they talk about long time in acting school, you know, in film school. You got it, man. You got it. So a hidden talent,
yeah.
I suppose. I'm glad you found it, you know.
Well, I think I really didn't have to work at it much. I think maybe when you're raising four kids, you end up with a lot of funny expressions on your face because they do the craziest things. And, yeah, I think it just kind of, sadly, in a way, it just kind of just came naturally to me, and I really enjoy it.
That's so neat. Now, I imagine your kids have to get a kick out of it. You know, you turn on the TV, and there's Dad looking back at them, you know? How neat is that?
Well, at first, they raise their eyebrows, wondering, what the heck is Dad doing now? And but, yeah, they've come to kind of go along with it now, yes. Especially the, which you didn't mention yet, especially the kind of, how I kind of look like that president, that 16th president.
That's right. And, of course, we're talking about Donald Trump. No, I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kidding. The good president. The good president. Mr. Abraham Lincoln, everybody's favorite president. Why, he's on every
There you
city.
Go.
It's, you know, kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I kind of like to say I'm in everybody's pocket because everybody usually has a penny or two in their pocket.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's awesome. Now, I used to be friends with a guy who worked in Vegas, Las Vegas, and he was a Freddie Mercury impersonator. And he had a job,
wow,
like with one of the big casinos. I think it was the Rio or something. They had some kind of show, you know, with all these impersonators. And he came out and did his bit and sang and stuff. But he made a living at that. You know, he had a nice house and a pretty nice car. So he was doing something right.
Yeah.
Do you do, like, impersonations of Lincoln ever and whatnot?
Yes, I do. I don't have a permanent place like that because then it kind of limits me to what I'm able to do. But I feel honored and blessed to present Mr. Lincoln, and I do it when things open up again. I do it schools, civic events, Civil War reenactments. Yes, and anywhere someone wants to hear about our 16th president, I'll open my mouth.
That's cool. How cool is it that it's Abe Lincoln, you know, and it's not, you know, you know, somebody lesser known or something, you know what I mean? One of the lesser known presidents or whatever, Buchanan or something.
Yeah.
That's
well,
cool, man. Abe Lincoln. That's fantastic.
Well, now you called me about L.A. McCobb. That's kind of my alter ego to Abraham Lincoln.
That's right. Very true. Oh, man. I was just thinking, you mentioned Civil War reenactments. Can you imagine, like, if somebody didn't know you were going to show up? So they're there, they've got their outfits on, you know, they're very, because I've known people that do that kind of stuff, and they're very serious, you know, they take it very seriously. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, man, you know, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you're reenacting Gettysburg, and up walks Abe Lincoln. I don't, you know, well, Mel's would be
it
hanging
does,
out.
It has stunned. It's stunned people before. I've had little old ladies come up with tears in their eyes, thanking me for freeing the slaves, or their children come up and they read about me in school, and then here I am standing right in front of them. So it's enjoyable. Yeah. And the thing I like is, I'm not a big sports personality or anything. They don't know who I am. I'm Abraham Lincoln when I'm Abraham Lincoln.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it reminds me, I when I was a million years ago, when I was knee-high to a tall Indian, I went, we lived by Detroit, Michigan. My father was in the automotive industry. And they have a big car show there every year. And I remember being, I was just a little kid, and we went to this car show. And there was a guy in a Darth Vader costume walking around. Just to spice up the car show, I guess. I don't know why Darth Vader was at the car show, but he was. And I thought that was the first celebrity I ever met. I just was, you know, I don't think there's been a feeling since of
how cool
that was. You know, so I imagine those kids when they see you are getting the same thing, you know?
Yeah, and it's something like you, it's something they don't forget. It stays in their memories.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's better than opening up a book and reading about something. You're actually right there experiencing it.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, when I go to Disneyland, you know, and I go to the Hall of Presidents, that's the one that wakes me up. You know, that's the favorite part.
I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me know I wake you up.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
That's right. So you're doing this, and you're acting, and you're into it and whatnot. And then, of course, you know, we mentioned Twin Peaks, The Woodsman. How did that come about? Did you go through a casting agency? Did they reach out to you? Did you apply for it? That's pretty cool, man.
It is very interesting, very mysterious. As you know, Mr. Lynch, David Lynch, he likes to keep a lot of secrets and things. And so it was, for me, it was to some degree a mystery, not really knowing what I was getting involved with. It was a phone Zoom, I guess you could say, or audition over the phone, which is interesting, maybe because he was real busy. And so I auditioned over the phone. I didn't hear anything for a while. And then they said, you know, report here out in the middle of the desert on this particular morning. And thank you very much. So it was
a nuke. Yeah.
You're going to get nuked. But it was interesting. It was even when we talking about me and the other woodsmen, because we're kind of like a family. We're a nice group, and we talk to each other once in a while. A few of us, Christian Calloway and Stuart. We talk. We stay in touch even now, many years later. And so it was a mystery, and they really didn't tell us much when everything was developing. And even like Mr. Lynch himself is, I never saw any of the script until like maybe 15, 20 minutes before our scene.
Wow.
And then it was presented to me, and then it was taken away from me after the scene. So everything was secret.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. As an actor, here you are, you find yourself in this business and whatnot. That's not the normal thing. Like you say, that's very kind of different, you know, kind of different from how it goes, as I understand. I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade. But did that intimidate you at all? Like you know, you're like, oh, man, I better not say a word. I imagine there's a lot of non-disclosure agreements and all that kind of stuff, too. I would only think, you know, on something like a Twin Peaks series.
I think it added to the mystique of it. Now, I watched it growing up when it was on TV, season one and season two. I even went out and bought the soundtracks to it. I liked it, all the shows. Fire Walk With Me, I went out and saw that. So I was a Twin Peaker right off the bat. And I think that mysteriousness, the privacy of it, I think that added a lot to our roles. I think it added a lot as an actor. It put you in the mood. And I think it was very effective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm the same way. I watched all that. It was one of the coolest. When I was a kid, it was one of the coolest things. I was in high school when seasons one and two came out, and it was just, I remember loving it. And then, and people have told me since, they were like, well, you know, Jamie, you were kind of a cool guy. And I guess, but to me, I wasn't. I thought there was a lot of all the other cool people were really into Twin Peaks, you know, and I'm like, oh, this got to be something here. And it was, and then when you're season three, that the Showtime, or The Return, I guess it's called, aired, you know, we didn't even have Showtime, and I called the company up and got it, signed up for that.
Wow.
To watch it, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm sure the people at Showtime are happy about that.
Yeah,
it worked out real well.
And we appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Oh yeah, it was great. I have some friends of ours, mine and my wife, and they're big into Twin Peaks as well. So we had, my wife not so much. She's like, that's too weird, you know. And everybody has their taste. I love it though, and our friends love it. So they we had a big party get together of all these strange folks that we know, and you know, served cherry pie and cups of coffee, and we all just loved it and loved it. Thoroughly freaked out when the woodsman showed up. That whole thing, that was
wow.
Strange and different, and we just couldn't get enough of it. So fantastic, man, fantastic.
Neat.
So you did a few things after that as well, different things and whatnot. And then, you know, including Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, all this kind of cool stuff. And then L.A. Macabre comes along. How did that happen?
That was interesting also. It when the audition notice came up for Smiley, I looked at L.A. Macabre. I wasn't aware of it before this. I had looked at and saw that they were in their season two, so they survived season one, which nowadays is pretty damn good. And I liked the role. It said no dialogue, which is fine with me. And I like the intrigue and the mystery of that character also. So I submitted for it, and they asked me to come down for an audition. And so, which is funny, at the audition, they had it wasn't really a trash can, but a 55-gallon drum lid there, and they had a hose there. And so part of the audition was actually going through the motion of what I did. And it was fun. It was great.
That's awesome. How cool is that? Well, you know, and I'm telling you, if there's any TV producers out there, you have to get Robert on the line and get him in your show because, you know, it's going to be a hit show then if that happens. Look at the track.
I appreciate that. And I also, on that audition, I guess you could say I broke protocol. Because after the audition, Corsica was there, Dan was there, I can't remember, David might have been there also. But after the audition, as I'm walking out, you know, they always say, you know, thank you very much for coming in. I stood at the door for a second, and I turned around, and I looked at them all, and I said, you know what? I really want to be a part of your production here, a part of your season two. I, in a way, I begged, and you're not supposed to do that as an actor. But I said, I don't care what I do, even if I'm picking up trash after you yell cut. I said, I like what you're doing, and I want to be a part of it. And it was weird. And then I closed the door, and I go, wow, why did I just beg?
Well, it worked. It helped, I imagine. You know, you probably already had the part anyway, you know, beforehand. But how cool is that, man? How cool is that? I love this show. L.A. Macabre, folks, I will be posting links, a direct link to the Amazon page where you can watch this. If you haven't watched it yet, this is one. I'm going to tell you right now, you will be binge watching this. You'll watch all of season one and all of season two. You'll just do it, man. It's so good. Draws you in. And Smiley. Yeah, Smiley, you don't want to run into Smiley in a dark alley or in an open desert, for that matter, or under a desert, for that matter, or just anywhere.
And you don't want me sneaking up behind you in my tow truck either.
No.
So that'll give him a little bit of a teaser. What the heck is he doing in a tow truck? But yes.
That's right. That's right. I was thinking about that when I was watching this show. Because, you know, like, whenever you need a tow truck, it's always it's never a good thing, you know. You have a problem and whatnot, you have to call a tow. And, you know, you're hoping this person's going to get you out of this problem. And
that was fun because I grew up, my father, when I was growing up, my father had, I think that was an Apache 10 or darn close, an old Chevy straight six. Four on the floor, big old shifter, and everything's metal inside. The dashboard is metal. There's no padding anywhere. And that's pretty much what this was. So it was a blast driving that thing around with the clutch and everything and out there in the desert. So I really enjoyed that. Was some of my favorite scenes was actually blasting around in the tow truck.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, did you grow up in Southern California? Are you a California native?
Yes, there aren't too many of us. There are not too many of us. And yes, I was born and raised in Whittier, and I only live like 15 miles from where I was born. So yeah, I'm kind of a West Coast guy, and I'm kind of stuck here.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The interesting thing, everybody, I lived in Southern California, San Diego area, for about 10 years when I got out of college. And I went to school in Boston, and I told my friends, I'm like, I need the exact opposite of where I'm at now. I've done with winters in New England. I just cannot handle this anymore. And I wound up in San Diego, of all places.
Nice.
When you live in Southern California, you're basically living in San Diego, LA, and Las Vegas, you know, bouncing between the three. And,
San Francisco.
One of the things that...
Yeah.
San Francisco too, yeah. One of the things that always, when you're making those, when I moved out there, one of the first things I got is I found a deal on this old Jaguar, an XJ12, heavy car. The thing was like driving a tank, and I thought I was pretty cool, you know, riding around in this Jaguar. It cost me about $1,000 a month to keep it running. It was the only car I've ever had I could actually see the gas gauge move on it. Like when you opened it up. Yeah, it was bad. But one of the things, because, you know, this heavy car, and it had a hell of an engine in it, you wanted to open it up, but you got to be careful. You don't want to get a ticket. So I'd go out in the desert and just on these weird little roads and stuff, you know, because anybody can take the 15 to Vegas. And I'm looking at the map. I'm going, ooh, look at this little state road here. Let's try that. And you get out in the desert, and things get very quiet very quickly and very creepy very quickly, you know? You run across these little abandoned buildings and towns and, you know, with a guy in there cackling, you know? It's just, it's very surreal. But you guys captured that with the show, the L.A. Macabre show, that kind of like, oh, man, we are not in Kansas anymore. You know, we are out here, and anything can happen.
Yes.
Is that a new song?
And it does. Well, out here in California, we got dirt. I mean, back where you're from and back east, everything's green. Well, we got rocks and dirt out here. And I think it looks totally different. And yucca trees, cactus, and all this other fascinating stuff. And I think it comes across well. And, yes, the mystique of the desert, especially around twilight when it's cooling off, the sun is setting, and everything turns golden. And like you said, it's quiet. It has a mystery to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, I've been a lot of places in the world and I've never seen anything like it. It's hard to describe, and it just lends itself so well, especially for, a mystery show, a thriller show too, you know, with interesting shady characters and this and that. I love it. You know, I just couldn't get enough. It's fantastic. Now you've been, of course this was, you guys finished this up right as memory serves, right before the pandemic hit, right?
Well, actually, I think it was back in 2017 when I shot my scenes. So it's been a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It was, now just for Amazon Prime, Mr. Ast, took all of the season one and season two and kind of put them together and made 15 like 30 minute episodes, so he's kind of blended it all together. Yes. Yeah, so it's new and old basically, so it actually it's a better format. I think they're not, and I think it comes across well, but yeah, it was a couple of years back and I know he's eager to get going again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that format too, because it's not too long and it's not too short. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff that's, you know, very short, you know, 8 minutes, 8-10 minutes long, something like that. And that's great, but it just puts a taste in my mouth, you know. The 30 minute is just enough, you know, it's just enough. And really, that's kind of what you're looking at anyway when you watch something on broadcast TV, because, you know, you don't have the commercials on Amazon, you know, breaking it up and whatnot. I don't know. It's a cool format, man. It's a cool format. So, speaking of pandemic, have you been, you know, has that really slowed things down with you as far as other roles and whatnot? Or are you doing voice stuff? Because you have a fantastic voice, too. What's been going on this past year?
Nothing, very little live anymore, which is sad because I really enjoyed going to schools. I've presented before preschoolers all the way up to college, and I love giving back like that, and I love all their questions and the challenges of their ideas and everything. And that kind of definitely came to a halt, and Civil War reenactments came to a halt. But, yeah, no, I stayed busy doing some stuff during this pandemic. And at the very beginning of it, we've got on hold Count Vlad of Fogatus. That's a show I'm doing, and we were waiting for that for the pandemic, and then we can finish that up.
Well, hopefully, I'm telling you, this pandemic, and people, I mean, I know everybody in the, you know, in the general sense are like, oh, yeah, it's bad, it's, you know, and I'm not making light, of course, it's terrible that people get sick and whatnot, and, you know, a lot of people passed away, but for the entertainment, folks, people in entertainment, it's real hard, because, you know, work stopped, you know, or changed dramatically. And I have a lot of friends, and I tell you, it's weird. The people that I personally know that have been affected the most are my stand-up comedian friends, because it's hard to do stand-up, it's hard to do comedy on a live on a Facebook stream or whatever. And DJ friends of mine, you know, because all the nightclubs have closed, and you know. The sad part is the bills are still coming. You know, the mortgage isn't closed. And, you know, you got to – oh, it's crazy. Well, I'm glad you're keeping busy. And hopefully you'll be back as Count Vlad before you know it. you know? There you go.
I believe so, yes. And then if L.A. McCon keeps going, then yes, hopefully they'll ask me back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They. I really would love to see a season three of that. I think it's just fantastic. Like I said, it's one of my favorite shows of the year. One of my favorite shows of the year.
Oh.
I put it right up there
wow.
with season four of Fargo. I'm those two have just really, I really like them a lot. L.A. McCobb's just fantastic. It's like I said, I'm a painter, and I paint a lot of weird stuff. And there's a lot of painting ideas in that TV series, including Smiley.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Well, it's very, very cool, you know, and I can't wait to one of the things I really like about doing this show is when people come on, they talk about, you know, their movie they made or what have you. And invariably, a few days will pass, and then I'll start getting emails from people or Facebook messages or what have you, Instagram. And they're like, that is a cool show. You know, I'm like, well, yeah. If it was a bad show, we wouldn't have had him on the show, you know. But it's really cool. And I predict that I know we're going to get some good feedback for L.A. McCobb. It's just it's a real good series. Well, very cool. Very, very cool. Well, I can't wait to see more of your work, and I'm going to go through your IMDb and just have a Robert Broski film festival and try to watch as much as I can because you're fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Man.
I appreciate
hey,
that.
Let me, yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you, you'd mentioned a couple times your four children. Do any of them have the acting bug yet? I'm just curious.
Isn't that funny? No. Like I said, they looked at me with one eyebrow raised, and that's as far as it went. Interesting. Yeah, they're busy. I've got three of them that are married, and I've got five. Well, I better count them all. Yes, I've got five grandchildren. So, yeah. So they got their own lives going.
How cool. Man, just how neat is that? Grandpa's a TV star. That isn't something you hear every day, you know? I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, my teenage grandchildren like that, yeah.
That's right. The little ones are probably like, yeah, okay. Put the cartoons back on. No, man, that's cool. That is very cool. Well, I can't, you know, I want to, I know we're up against the time and whatnot, but Robert, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on this show and whatnot. And in case no one's told you this today, you already know this anyway, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Keep doing what you're doing. You're so good at it. I'm glad you discovered
wow.
this.
Well, thank you. I do plan on doing it, and definitely. And I would like to just a shout out for the L.A. McCobb cast and crew and everything. It's we still talk to each other. We've gotten together, Ryan and Dan and David and Corsica and all that. So it's kind of neat, and we were all pulling together, and. Even during the filming, it was, as you could tell from the filming itself, it was small, it was intimate, and that carried through on both sides of the camera. And I'm just very thankful for all the interest everybody's had in it, and I just hope it keeps going.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That is so cool that you guys are all still friends and staying in touch and whatnot. I want to let people know, as I said, I'll be posting a direct link to the Amazon page. We also have that link on our show page. And when this is converted to a podcast, I'll follow and whatnot. But we also have links, everybody, not only to all the L.A. McCobb Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but we also have links for Robert Broski, actor, his Twitter, Instagram, all of that. Yeah, posted. So I suggest you head over there and like and share, you know, like and share.
Wonderful.
Robert's got some fantastic social media pages. I like that Lincoln beer picture, and I like the dragonfly picture. That's pretty neat. I've never smelled a pine tree, but there you are doing it.
Isn't that well? I like to stay in touch with nature.
I guess that's awesome. Well, very cool. Well, Robert, thank you so much, man, for being on. You are awesome, and everybody, you know, get over there and like and share these pages. And check, if you have not watched it yet, you definitely have to check out Ellie McCubb. It's included with Amazon Prime, and I know everybody listening has an Amazon account, or at least is on somebody's. I didn't say that. But, yeah, everybody streams stuff, so, and everybody knows how to stream these days. That's something we all learned this last year, is how Roku's work and the like. So, with that being said, check it out. Ellie McCobb, it's just fantastic. Fantastic. Robert, again, thank you so much, sir. You're awesome.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, or today, I should say, tonight. What am I saying? Today, this episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. We're going to push it out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms that we're on. And I'm telling you, we are on a ton of them. We're on 260 of them. I didn't even know there was that many, but there it is, and we're on them all. I have had a couple emails, people asking me, they're like, well, not all of your episodes. You're right, only the last 300 episodes. This is episode 1064. If you want to get... You know, you have a spare 50 days or something and you just want to hear me talk 24/7, well, go to my website. What can I tell you? They're all archived there and you can just work out on them. Don't do that, man. Get a hobby. Do anything. Listen to the last couple episodes, but, you know, find something better to do with your time than listening to me for 30 days. Oh, man. Even I wouldn't want to do that. I can guarantee my wife wouldn't. Anyway. That's going to wrap it up for us today, folks. We will be back tomorrow, and we will see you then. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli. Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.